Vartate
is there.
Is there.
Vidita Atmanam of those who are self-realized.
Of those who are self-realized.
Translation. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. Perfect. Of the saintly persons who are constantly engaged in striving toward salvation, one who is in Krishna consciousness is the best of all. The Bhagavatam confirms this fact as follows. Yat para pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma sayam vratitam utkratayam tisanta tatvanna rikta matayo yatayo pirutta shroto ranas tamaranam vajavasudevam. Daisiru, please get me a Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 22. You will find it in the room upstairs. Just try to worship in devotional service Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even great sages are not able to control the forces of the senses as effectively as those who are engaged in transcendental bliss by serving the lotus feet of the Lord, uprooting the deep-grown desire for fruitive activities. In the conditioned soul, the desire to enjoy the fruitive results of work is so deep-rooted that it is very difficult even for the great sages to control such desires despite great endeavors. A devotee of the Lord constantly engaged in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, perfecting self-realization, very quickly attains liberation in the Supreme. Owing to his complete knowledge in self-realization, he always remains in trance. To cite an analogous example of this, Darshana Dhyana Sansparshaya Matsya Kuruna Vihangama Swamyavyapat Yami Pushnanti Tataham Apipat Maya. By vision, by meditation, and by touch only do the fish, the tortoise, and the birds maintain their offspring. Similarly, do I also, O Padmaja. The fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them. The tortoise brings up its offspring simply by meditation. The eggs of the tortoise are laid on land and the tortoise meditates on the eggs while in the water. Similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to that abode simply by thinking of him constantly, by engagement in Krishna consciousness. He does not feel the pains of material miseries. This state of life is called Brahma-nirvana, or the absence of material miseries due to being constantly immersed in the Supreme. Samam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vinamra Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Dauravani Pratarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Rishatavine
Deya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Shri Adaita Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
It is there, maybe it is there. Once again, the text: Kama Krura Vimuktanam Yatinam Yatachetasam Abito Brahma Nirvanam Vartate Viditajmanam. Those who are free from anger and all material desires, who are self-realized, self-disciplined, and constantly endeavoring for perfection, are assured of liberation in the Supreme in the very near future. In this verse, it is clearly explained what is necessary in order to go back home, back to Godhead. The devotee or candidate must be free from anger and all material desires. Why is this so? This is explained in the fourth chapter as well, where it says, Vitaraga Vajyakrunha Mamma Maya Mamu Pashrita Vahavo Vyana Tapasa Putamat Bhavam Agatate. This verse means free from attachment fear and anger. Many great sages in the past have attained transcendental love for me. In order to go back home, back to Godhead, the devotee must become Ratija. That is, he must be born out of love to Krishna. If he is born out of anger and material desires, that doesn't look very good. So at the same time, anger and material desires accompany the conditioned soul as a very, very strong conditioning. Material desire and anger go hand in hand. This is explained by Sri Krishna in a wonderful shloka, Jayato Vishayan Pungsam, that by meditating about the objects of the senses, attachment evolves, and from attachment, anger comes. Why? Because you simply cannot be satisfied with your attachments. They will never be satisfied, and as a natural result, one has to face frustration and then anger. And the devotee in this world has to know that material attachment is a source of suffering. Because you're running, when you are attached, after something which can never be fulfilled. There are three stages of dissatisfaction which come after attachment. One is you're attached to something and you don't get it, then you are frustrated. That's very often the case. then you are attached to something and you get it, but it doesn't fulfill your expectations. So often we have seen this. For instance, reads how nice it is to make a holiday, and then one comes there and one feels very bored and just wants to go home from where he came. Didn't fulfill the expectations. Or this is very, very, very often in the case in romance. You finally obtain someone you were attached to, but just didn't fulfill the expectations. It's not as glorious as the mind thought it is. And the third stage of frustration after attachment is you get what you were attached to, it even fulfilled the expectations, but you unfortunately lose it again. So in this way, this is what the scriptures say, we will be always frustrated with our attachments, because the quality of the material world will never fulfill what the eternal soul looks after. Here, in this particular shloka, the process of Krishna consciousness is advertised to be a good or effective way of giving up attachments. And Srila Prabhupada quoted the verse Yatpala Pankaja Palasa Vilasa Bhaktya from the fourth canto. This is a verse which Prabhupada quoted quite often, and I would like to read to you the translation which he gave in the Bhagavatam. It says, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can easily give up the firmly knotted desires for fruitive activities. Because this is very difficult, non-devotees, that is, the jnanis and yogis, cannot control the waves of sense gratification, although they try. That's why you are advised to engage yourself in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. In this shloka, the desires of the for sense gratification are compared with the waves of the river, who flow incessantly without any stoppage. This process of desiring for material things cannot be stopped without transforming or transporting your desires and putting on it on something else. The example has been given of a river who flows since time immemorial in the riverbed. Only if you create a new riverbed, then the river can go in a different direction. In the same way, the yogis and jnanis who do not create a new purpose in their life, but who just want to stop all desires, are not able to do so, but the devotees are able to do so because they desire the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can see this in the life of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was severely tested by Maya Devi, But because he was totally attached to the holy names of the Lord, he did not fall prey. Minor devi, that's what we usually do not remember, came in her personified form to test them. And it is described, she really tried her very best by exhibiting a potency which was so strong that it had previously bewildered Lord Brahma, who could not control his desires, and therefore ran after his daughter in search of sense gratification. Now, Maya came with the same intention and the same potency to Haridas Thakur, but because he was so strong in his Krishna consciousness, she eventually had to give in to him. Previously, she used to chant the name of Rama, Rama, but when she came in contact with Haridas Thakur, she began to chant the name of Krishna, Krishna. Now, mystic yogi, on the other hand, called Yamuna, what was his name? One very famous, who was always quarreling with Vashishta, Vishwamitra Muni, yes. He could not control his senses and was swept away by the river of sensual allurements, and was actually for breaking his vows creating a daughter called Shakuntala. So this is one of the many examples which are given in the scriptures. There is also the example of Markandeya Rishi, who was meditating when Kama, who was meditating on the Supreme Lord, when Kamadev came personally and did all he could to bring him away from his vows. It was not possible. You have to be protected by the lotus feet of the Lord in order to be so much immune to material sense gratification, because lust is the all-devouring enemy of this world. She can easily gulp up the whole of creation. Certainly she can gulp up beginning devotee. So therefore, this shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord is not just some poetic verse, but it is an absolute need in our own lives. We have to be fulfilled in Krishna consciousness, otherwise we cannot go on with this Hari Hari Bol, Hari Hari Bol. This is what Prabhupada says. He made the point that his disciples should read regularly in all his books so that they remain surcharged with knowledge in devotion. Knowledge alone is not sufficient to protect one, but knowledge in devotion can help a devotee to find shelter under the Supreme Lord. Now, this is one of the points. Let us now try to explain one verse which is quite interesting also for preachers. Prabhupada has quoted this here: darshana dhyana sanspasher matsya kurma vivangama svam yapat yani pushnanti tataham apikatmaja. By vision, by meditation, and by touch only do the fish, the tortoise, and the birds maintain their offspring. Similarly, do I also, O Padmaja? The fish brings up its offspring simply by looking at them. The tortoise brings up its offspring simply by meditation. The eggs of the tortoise are laid on land, and the tortoise meditates on the eggs while in the water. Similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to that abode simply by thinking of him constantly, by engagement in Krishna consciousness. So, let us just observe this verse a little. Once we understand this, a clue might be given how to conduct our lives in Krishna consciousness in a more effective way. The example goes like this. The tortoise, it's called the cornicha, goes in the lives in the water. There are these water tortoises, I believe, in the Galapagos Islands. Sind diese Kose, wie heißt die noch mit K?
Koreta.
Was?
Koreta.
Ja, das ist in Slowenien, in Englisch, wie die in Englisch. Diese K, mit K, Schildkröten, wie heißt die K? Die sind richtig Tieftaucher. I don't know the biological word for this, but this is a special kind of tortoise, not these big ones, like you see the others. They go on the beach, they live constantly in the water, they go on the beach and put their eggs on the land, in the land. And then, because they are residents of the ocean, go back. Now, these tortoises are constantly thinking about these eggs, and the energy of the thought brings the eggs to hatch. Then the little tortoises come out. Now, they have made some experiments on this. What they did is they captured a tortoise and put some color or something on it. And then after the tortoise put the eggs on the land, and then the tortoise went back in the ocean, and then they killed it there and made soup out of it, the scientists. So, do you know what happened to the eggs? They didn't hatch, die sind nicht rausgekommen, aufgegangen oder ausgebrütet. They were rotting away and they were finished. So, this experiment showed the scientists that there is a relation between the tortoises and the eggs. It's not just, and that relationship is an ongoing relationship which goes on even over a long distance. So it appears that this the thought of the tortoise, you know, there is a subtle link, and we know from this verse what it is. The tortoise apparently meditates about the young eggs. Now, this subtle connection is also described by a scientist called Rupert Sheldrake. And I remember preaching at a conference where his experiments were described. It is the experiment called the 100th monkey. If you know, this is nice for preaching, so therefore I will bring it out. There were two islands just lying before the coast in Japan, and on both of these islands, who were separated by a distance of 90 miles, lived monkeys. Now, these monkeys, were in the process of eating potatoes, sweet potatoes. They just put it there in the mouth and ate it with the sand. They tried to. Now then, one day, a particularly clever monkey took his potatoes to the ocean and before eating the potatoes, washed them in the ocean water. And these had two advantages. One was there was no sand any longer on the potatoes. The second advantage was that there was some pleasant salty taste on the potatoes. So the other monkeys in the hearts, they saw him and there must have been some communication, and there was some talk. And finally they were all converted and they tried this new method of washing the potatoes before eating them in the ocean. Now when the 100th monkey adopted this new behavior, then in the island 90 miles away, all the monkeys together started bringing their potatoes in the ocean and washing them. So this example shows that there was apparently, there is a subtle connection by on the subtle platform between these monkeys. You know, they didn't have a telegraph system, beep 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 beep, no potato pleasures. Eat the potato, the new style, which was found by monkey Zulu, monkey called Zulu. That's not a nice monkey name, there are other things. So, there was also no, you understand? There was no connection like this. The same thing happened in England. In England, anyway, let us not get drawn out by examples. If you are interested in more of such examples, you can approach me after the lecture. Let us not be. So there is a subtle connection. So this is the example here. If you think of Krishna, there is a connection to Krishna. This is the example which is given here. The monkey has the tortoise thinks of the eggs, and there is a strong connection between the mother and the little tortoise babies. In the same way, by engagement, by simply thinking of him, Krishna. Similarly, the devotee in Krishna consciousness, although far away from the Lord's abode, can elevate himself to that abode simply by thinking of him constantly. There is a connection like this. This is one of the open secrets in Krishna consciousness. Certainly everyone in the audience has already heard this point many, many times, that think of Krishna constantly. But because this is one of the, so to say, this is a way to go back home, back to Godhead, it's not so easy. It can only be attained, this blessing, if we practice thinking of Krishna. Krishna gives an easy a recommendation to his devotee, Arjuna, in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Which I feel will answer certain questions in relationship to the subject matter. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu man anusmarayogyacha mayam pitamano buddhir mam evaisyas yasamshaya. O Arjuna, you should all think of me in the form of Krishna and at the same time carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without doubt. This instruction to Arjuna is very important for all men engaged in the material world, or human beings. We should work according to the instructions which are given to us, our duties in devotional service, but at the same time think of Krishna. The way to do this is that you think this particular duty has been given to me by Krishna. I'm in the bus program, for instance, or I'm on Sankirtan, or I'm distributing prasadam in the higher taste. I'm doing puja, I'm doing managing, doing preaching. A devotee should understand this service has been given to me by Krishna. And I should try my best. It's very difficult for him to perform. That can create serious difficulties in his life of devotional service. No, whatever you can easily do, do that for Krishna, and do it nicely. That is the definition of expertise. When we hear a devotee must become expert, this doesn't mean that we should learn so many different things which previously were not known to us. Srila Prabhupada said that his spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much opposed to the concept of devotees learning much complicated things so that they can serve Krishna better. This is not required. Whatever you can easily do, do that to satisfy Krishna. And if you do so, Krishna will give you more and more vision and intelligence how to do more. But there is no reason to become hectic and to think you should do something impossible for the Lord. No, that impossible will be done if you adopt this principle. You do what you can nicely for Krishna. You will see how Krishna takes you as his instrument. If he is convinced of your devotional qualities and uses you in his service, then you do something impossible. Not out of your own strength, in other words, but due to Krishna being impressed with your devotional qualities of all the thinking of him and not never forgetting him. So this is the easy tip given by the Lord to us. The activities should be dedicated to him. Yet this is what Krishna has given to me, and I will try to do this as good as I can for Krishna. Then one will attain the Supreme Lord without a shadow of a doubt. Now we were talking about remembering Krishna. To attain this, we have the morning program and the evening program at times. We have the instruction to chant 16 good rounds, attentive rounds, and we have the possibility to, and the instruction also, to read every day minimum 1 hour in the books. A devotee who wants to think of Krishna and not waste his time any longer in just mechanic and automatic and sometimes even distressful and hectic activities, he should first begin to concentrate on his surrounds. When a devotee concentrates on his surrounds and avoids the offense called inattention against the holy name, he lays the foundation stone for a Krishna conscious life. Then he should visit the whole morning program and attentively hear the lecture. Now, when we hear a lecture, we should not use it as some background music for our thoughts, but we should try to understand the concepts which are presented and develop them further on in our lives by thinking about them and talking about them with other devotees. Then we should also read in the books and preach. Whatever you preach from the points you have read will stay with you for a long, long time. So in this way, a devotee can easily, so to say, dig a new riverbed of thought. I think we were talking about in Leipzig about this. And now the river of sense gratification is unfortunately in our minds, and not now, but before we came to Krishna consciousness, and we have to now seriously dig another river. So Ramanujacharya, he says that first the remembrance of Krishna will come only from time to time, but then as a devotee advances further, the remembrance of Krishna becomes deeply engraved in his mind, so that finally he enters into Krishna's pastime even while being in this material world, by being totally absorbed in his engagement in Krishna consciousness. Such a devotee does not feel the pangs of material miseries. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for listening to this rather spontaneously given class. I will end here and request you, if you have any questions pertaining to the subject matter, please do ask them.
You have told that desires are very strong.
Isn't it?
It is true.
Yeah.
It is true. But Shiva and Brahma, they are also driven by the sensual desires.
Yes.
Are they were not meditating on Krishna?
This brings us to a very interesting question. Brahma and Shiva are agents of the Lord, and their leela with the Lord is twofold. There is an aspect of their lives where they do give instructions to the conditioned souls, and where they appear just like other conditioned souls. And there is an aspect to their lives where they, there's the shiksha aspect, the instruction giving aspect, and there is an aspect of their lives where they are connected with Krishna. This Brahma Mohan Leela, for instance, and that is that Brahma fell in illusion and doubted, didn't know that Krishna was God, and therefore stole away all his cowherd boys, is sometimes not accepted by Vaishnava Sampradayas. Because they say, what? Brahma? Pure yogi. For instance, Sri Sampradaya doesn't accept this Leela. But we as Vaishnavas say, no, no, it is true, because Krishna wanted to teach us that even you may be Lord Brahma, if you not surrender to the Lord, then you are an illusion. This is a very, this is my own creative thought to this question. We have dealt with this question in, I forgot where it was, in just the recent days, where Damodar Pandit was chastising the Lord, because the Lord had an affectionate relationship to the young son of a Brahmana, a Brahmani, the wife of a Brahmana, whose husband had died. So, Damodara Pandit said to Lord Chaitanya, if you maintain this friendliness towards this young boy, the people will think that sannyasi shouldn't do it because he is the boy of a beautiful girl, a beautiful young lady. So there it is described that Lord Chaitanya chastised his devotee, Damodara Pandit, because he dared to advise a sannyasi. He thought it was improper for Damodara Pandit to give him such an advice. Because, I think you understand the situation. So inwardly the Lord was very satisfied with this. But outwardly he chastised him. So inwardly, on one level, it was a very loving relationship with his devotee, Damodara Pandit. But outwardly, he gave him the sauce. What? Who do you think you are? Like this. There are many things like this. So, therefore, sometimes we hear different things. We hear that on one side, Lord Shiva is a pure devotee, always worshipping the Lord. On the other side, we hear that he did this and he did that in a different aspect. These personalities are on a very high level and we can't understand them. That's what you may ask. But you might would like maybe you would like to ask this question to Allah more advanced Vaishnava, and it's an interesting question certainly. What would you say, Bhagavad Baba Maharaj?
Same thing?
Yeah? Uh-huh. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Most probably I would say yes.
Kisi Gavani Daiki! Hey! So this is a welcome end to our lecture. Please, brothers, keep this in mind. Let us try to cultivate our thought of Krishna. And just as a little tip, so to say, by a desperately fallen soul, I'm trying to do this for a long time. It's theoretically very clear to me. And my understanding is, if I can manage to remember the holy name during the day, chant Hare Krishna, also when I'm not after the rounds, just without the vivek, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, sing, then it's very easy to, that starts the thought process. But whenever one doesn't remember the holy name, after that one has put the vivek to the side, it's very difficult also to remember Krishna during the day. So that's a good That's a good point to start, to remember the holy name so that one chants 24 hours. Well, that's very idealistic, obviously, but that one chants or is in connection with the holy name throughout the day. Because it is described that in this Kali, that the name is more merciful than the Lord himself. He appears whenever he is called. This is the mercy of the holy name. Easier to chant the holy name than to think of Krishna always when one begins this process. But maybe you will gather different experiences in your attempt to always think of Krishna and never forget him. Everyone is also an individual and